first question, when are you racing the cow? Well, it would seem bigger, and there's been some developments. You can now, you of course, now you crushed the cow. People were very amazed at the foot speed of the big man.
Yeah, I mean, I did take a little bit of a lead, but you know, I got the legs.
How much lead did you think it could have helped? Because you weren't going full out at the end; you were slowing.
I took 15. It was a little slick out there, and he had cleats on. So yeah. I'm like, God, I'm going to take a little bit. And he's quick. He gained some serious ground, but then I was Usain Bolted him at the end.
Yeah. Looking back at him. Yeah. Now, yeah, it was good this Saturday, Rhett taking on the cow, but he is claiming.
Not
bad hip.
Hamstrings.
I was practicing.
Same thing.
I was practicing.
Yeah.
On the third heat of my practice, I went down. Pop, pop. Both hammies. Kids playing soccer were laughing at me.
Well, they'll probably have a pretty long playoff run, so you'll have a chance.
Yeah, we'll get you out there. Yeah,
we'll get you out there.
So you are going coast to coast?
Yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow. Actually, my visa came in
to go over, and
I'm gonna be
a Panther.
Yeah, look, kind of like I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, getting a chance to go live in Europe it's gonna be a pretty cool experience for sure.
Hockey's been good for you, hey? When you think about the sport and what it's afforded you?
Yeah, I've got no complaints. I mean, I've said it before, the game owes me nothing. I mean, I've had a chance to live a dream playing the NHL for, you know, close to a decade. You know, made some really good friends along the way. I got to play in some really good cities, like, you know, like playing Calgary.
Yeah.
Calgary's home now. I mean, so, you know, the good definitely outweighs the bad for sure.
What's the highlight, if there is one, to look back over the, oh, here I make.
I would always say my first NHL game. I grew up a Leaf fan. My first NHL game was on Hockey Night in Canada at the ACC. So,
yeah.
I mean, I always said I just want to play one NHL game and play in Toronto. And, you know, it was my first game.
And then you needed a little bit more, hey?
Yeah.
Get that one
and
in.
I punched out Ty Domi about 2 weeks later there.
Well, I remember Don Cherry. He's like, this guy could score 20 goals. Every team needs one of these guys. You remember that?
Yeah.
20
well,
goals.
I like Don, you know, because Don was my coach and GM and junior. And so I had a really good relationship with Don.
Yeah. The movie is Ice Guardians.
Yeah.
Now, I guess, give us the details how the whole thing got started and how it's...
Yeah, I mean, I got asked about, you know, close to 2 years ago, if I would like to have a part in it and tell my story and whatnot. And I think the whole project together was about an 8-year process. And I said, yeah, I'd love to come on. And so, you know, the guys came up here, and I forget the name of the boxing club, but we went to an old boxing club. It was a pretty cool setup, dim lights.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then, you know, there was about a 2 or 3 part interview process. They came down to San Diego last year. So that's just kind of my end on my part in it. You know, having a chance to go to the premiere last week in Toronto, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It's really good. Yeah.
Without spoilers, I mean, is it just the life of filling the enforcer role
in any
level of
away
hockey?
From the rink, you know, different other guys' perspectives, like both Bobby and Brett Hall are in it, Clark Gillies. I mean, you got some Hall of Famers in there, and their kind of look, you know, their outlook on it. Wendell Clark is in it. So, I mean, there's a pretty vast variety of guys that are in it that kind of give a total outlook on what that role has done, what it's, you know, what it brings to a team. You know, where it's going, stuff like that.
You've, fair to say, you've embraced the role over your career. Without giving anything away, I can't imagine, because I saw the list, and you say, it's an amazing list of players that they've talked to over time.
Yeah.
Safe to say that not everybody shares your affection for it? Because I would think some guys probably did it.
Yeah, and half.
But didn't love it.
Yeah, there's, you know, I would say
close
to 90% of the guys are kind of did it.
But. Yeah.
They definitely wore on them for sure.
So it's...
They're not all maniacs like me.
Well, you know, not everybody can...
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's a little bit different. What's the reaction that that you're getting from people after they see it? Because, I mean, you know what it is. Right now, it's all about concussions, and everybody is, we're hypersensitive to it.
That part is in there for sure.
And then this movie comes out. Is it like combating the thought of that, or does it kind of...
Everybody, you know, this part's in the movie. It's not really a spoiler, but 95% of concussions are not from fighting. 5%.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's just the easy thing to pick on. It's, you know, we're always, in that role, you're always kind of the scapegoat for everything. So, I mean, but we'll see where it goes. I mean, I said it the other night in Toronto, once you take that out of the game, it'll never come back. If you get rid of fighting in hockey, it will never, ever come back.
And are they going to get rid of it?
It
sure seems that.
It sure is. Yeah, it does sure seem it. I personally, I cannot see it being in the game much longer than another 3 to 4 years.
Do you think they'll ever officially do it, or have the coaches and the GMs, they've just dissolved
the
it out of there?
That's, you know, with the fighting rules and the suspensions, if you fight more, like especially it started in junior and then it's moved into the minors where, you know, in the OHL, it was 10 fights last year and then every concurring fight from 10 fight on was a suspension. Now it's 3 fights. Also. Now that 10-fight rule has moved into the American League. So now in the OHL, if you fight more than 3 times, that 4th fight is a suspension.
So there's no sense being good at it.
There's no sense being good at it. I mean, but like I said, I mean, game's evolving. I mean, who knows? I mean, I was fortunate enough to get a 10-year career out of it. So, I mean.
And so would you say, and I'm a hypocrite when it comes to it, because I love it, and I did a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Would you say the game has suffered by going away from it? Because
you know what, and I've heard this from a lot of people and like friends of mine and people who don't even really watch hockey. They say there's no excitement to it anymore. I mean, how many 4-on-4, you know, overtimes you want to watch, or you know, little 5'10" guys skating around in circles all games. Like you can't even hit anymore.
Yeah.
Never mind fight.
Yeah.
Every time there's a big hit, you got 3 guys on a panel or 4 guys on a panel that have never played the game before. They're watching a hit from 10 different angles and
slow
10 times slow-mo and saying, well, this guy should be, it should be a 10 game suspension. It should be this and that. And I mean, you can't even lay a huge hit anymore in that. Yeah. Never mind fight. Like the fighting is, I mean, it's the hitting that it's the complete emotion of the game is being taken away. I mean,
robotic.
You know,
would you say it's becoming a robotic?
You know what,
type
skill and speed. Yeah, you know what, that's a very exciting part of the game. But is that all you really want to watch? Like people, especially from when we grew up watching, we love big hits. You know, when, like, for instance,
Rock'em
if you ever
soccer.
Were watched a Boston Bruins Philadelphia Flyers series, you were going to see big hits, fast hockey, a couple fights, maybe a line brawl. And being now, like if you watch the Philadelphia Flyers and the Boston Bruins game, you might have a nap between the second period.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it's going.
Did you find it different? Like line brawl is one thing; everyone's get on the ice and go. But what about the stuff right off the draw? Did that make as much sense to you? Because clearly the fans love it.
They do love it, and I mean that's kind of. I have done it, so I'd be a hypocrite to say I didn't like it, but I mean, there's...
It doesn't feel as authentic, right?
Yeah, sometimes there's a right time for that, and a lot of the times there's not. I mean, sometimes it's too much with that. I mean, you know, there's games, and he's played in games, and where they're over the top, there's stuff going on all game. And, you know, a stage fight off a draw, that could be, you know, a tone setter, and depending on who fights in it. But sometimes it can be too much. And some, you know, a lot of people don't like it, and a lot of people do like it. So, I mean.
The edge is the thing for me. It was like you said, I'm a hypocrite because I don't think that fighting is the only reason guys get hurt. And they are taking all the physical stuff out of it. And that's what I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't want guys to be hurt and have long-term injuries, but I also don't want that bite gone from hockey.
Yeah,
and I feel like
that
that's
bite,
what's
the bites. She's gone.
Yeah, because the kids and you're closer to it than I am. Yeah. You're still playing, but I've got to think that even in the dressing room, it's a different feel because the kids have a different mindset coming up.
There'll be lots of guys that hadn't fought that are in the NHL. That would never be the case 20 years ago. Like, there's a lot of guys don't fight junior now.
And, again, not even the fight, but the intimidation for kids. They don't even have to worry about that side of
Have to worry, and then the coaching staff and management babies these kids. Like, as a veteran player, you say boo to them, and they're going to get in trouble.
They're done. You're the bad guy.
These managers and coaches, I've always said I'm kind of glad I'm at the last stages of my career because, man, the way the atmosphere is at the rink, it is completely different from when I broke into the league, for sure. I mean,
do you have any examples? Like what is no longer
tolerated? I'll give you an example for us. For me, it was back in the day, and it's not a pot shot at Phaneuf or Daryl Sutter, but the first time I ever noticed it was with Phaneuf's first year when he was playing great. Don't get me wrong. Phaneuf was probably our best defenseman at the time, but if you tried to tell him what to do or give him a piece of advice, it wasn't. And Daryl, you think about Daryl, you'd think he'd be an old school, take the player, you know, the vets mm-hmm. side, completely opposite. If don't question what he's doing, let him do it, leave him alone. It's like, really?
So I guess this is my rookie year when I played in Ottawa. Zdeno Chara was my roommate. I had no idea what etiquette was or anything. So I get to Toronto. I'm like, well, I'm the first guy off the bus. I'll just get on the elevator and go up to my room. Go up there. The big man comes in. He's like, don't you ever do that again. I'm like, what? He's like, don't you ever beat me into this room again. He's like, you will sit down there until every single vet is in that elevator, and then you'll be allowed to come up. And I was like, when you say that to a kid now, he might start crying and be a mess for a week.
Yeah, he'd be upset. It's true.
It's unbelievable.
Call
it's unbelievable. Like, man, we were in Calgary a couple years ago, and I mean, like, you know, it's some pretty long-term vets in our team, and we get pulled in and saying we're making young kids feel uncomfortable. Yeah, uncomfortable. What? You're supposed to feel uncomfortable. If you're a rookie, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not making it a bad place for you to come, but you should know your role, and there's a certain pecking order in the dressing room and around the rink, and that whole part of the game's going out the window too. I mean, you can't even say anything to these kids anymore. So I mean, I don't know, it's all changing, man.
It coincides with you mix that in with these guys getting paid more money earlier, like the bridge deal's done, guys are getting paid right out of entry level. It's like that
retro would know, seen it more than me. Like when I, you know, for instance, Jason Spezza, when I, you know, the year before the lockout had 55 points. He signed for $1.5 million in 2005, 2006. You have 55 points now, you're going to get six.
Yeah.
And there's no $1.5 million in between that. So, and then he grew up probably in an era where you didn't hit free agency until you were 30.
31.
And you'd have to put in five or six good years of really consistent numbers to cash in at 30 or 31.
Yeah, now 25.
Now it's,
you can do it.
You know, if you're, you know, some guys are like Johnny Gaudreau's coming out of college where you burn that 1 year if you play one game, and then, you know, kids are smart and their agents are smart. And if you have two good seasons, you know, you kind of have the team by the short and curlies. Yeah. And so, I mean, so, you know, so the money, the money part is definitely getting thrown around quite a bit.
Brian McGrattan, our guest here in studio. The movie is Ice Guardians. The fighting element of the game, like you said, the entertainment value suffers.
For a fan, right? Because a lot of the fans.
And I agree. I'm a hypocrite. We talk about it all the time.
Don't get me wrong. We love scoring and skill and this and that, but we love all of it.
But man, we sat in here.
Emotional game.
We sat in here and we were sick to our stomach when we watched you go down.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah.
I mean, people were rattled watching that video when you went down on the ice. So I'm a total hypocrite because I love fighting, and I look at this like, oh, you know what? We don't need it. If that's, you know, if that's the other side of it, man, maybe we don't need it. So Even I feel I'm changing, and I was always an advocate for fighting in the game.
Yeah, I still love it, man.
I know. You were
I'll say this. The league you're going to has got some tough, tough guys. Ah,
they do, actually.
Cam Jansen, Patrick Bordelot. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Those guys are monsters.
Jay Rosehill. Oh. I mean, they have some...
You're not out of the woods yet.
Should be pretty fun. No, they're not out of the woods.
That's probably more appropriate.
Just, they probably thought they'll go over to Europe and cruise around for a year. Well, that's not happening.
They want to get traded to Nottingham all of a sudden.
Just to double back, I'm guessing, obviously, you're not happy that you got knocked out or knocked down. But how long afterwards do you have that realization, like, everybody's going to be on?
No, you know what? It never really shook me. I mean, that's a thought you have to have in the back of your mind that can happen. I mean, I haven't been knocked down like that before, but I've definitely been knocked down and I've always gotten back up.
Yeah.
And part of it, I had to give that kid a lot of, I gave him a lot of credit because first of all, he fought me and then he stood in there with me. And part of it was my fault. I haven't lost in so long. I kind of took him for granted. I took a hard shot earlier in the fight and I just thought, oh, that's all this guy's got. Right. So I just kind of stayed open with him and he kind of gets sloppy and boom, hit me in the right spot and I got what I deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like that, man. Cause
that's all right.
You're right. There's something about
Cal. Man, I got up. I was in the room. I didn't know. I was having a good time. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, that's what
he's trying to talk to me. I'm telling him.
Yeah.
I guess I threw the neck brace at the paramedic in the room. I didn't. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Because Twitter's exploding. He's like, "Have you heard? Yeah. How is he?
And then, I was obviously down in the basement of the rink, and my phone. They have no reception down there. And then they wanted me to go get checked out in the hospital. I'm like, oh, I guess I should bring my phone. Sure enough, get on, and it's just boom, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, yeah.
Ding.
Small world.
Yeah.
With the added now responsibility of being a parent, does that give you any more pause than it might have in the past?
No, not at all. Because, I said it to Michelle, how am I going to tell Gabe to give up on something, to never give up on something, where if I get knocked out in that fight and I never do it again? That's like a really big sign of weakness and softness and whatever. So I went right back at that kid and I kicked the hell out of him. Yeah. Right. But so how am I going to be able to look at my kid and tell him not to ever give up on anything, where if I would have got knocked out in that fight and I would have packed it in?
Boy, I don't think anybody would have. I don't think anybody would have said Brian McGrattan soft if that was your last fight, though.
No, never, man.
But there's a lot of guys that does end that way, right? Like there's the toughest guys ever all still retired, right?
Yeah.
Like Gordy stopped fighting at some point.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna fight right to the last. But being a parent, I mean, that's it hasn't it's been amazing. I think it's made me, getting to go home. Like I'm gonna go home today and he's gonna be running around the house and playing hide and seek and chasing him later. I mean, it's definitely one of the brightest spot in my life, getting to be able to do that every day.
Tell us, because some people won't be familiar with what you're doing. You're going overseas.
Yeah.
Your career continues. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, had some mild interest over here, but obviously the NHL window, I'm not, that window's closed. Playing in the American League, I mean, the way it is now, I mean, I told my agent it would have to be a lot of money to do it. I mean, that league, I'm 35, that league stinks. I mean, there's three or four good cities. The rest of them are in hellhole towns.
Travel
towns. I mean, like, if you guys want to interview some guys in Stockton in January and see what they're, they're going to want to jump out a window in that town. It's brutal. I mean, so, you're going to get stuck in places for 8 or 9 months of the year that are awful.
Yeah.
Like I've played in some very bad towns. And I just picture I can't do that at this age. When you're 20 or 21 years old, you don't know any better. And, and then you always have that chance of making it to go back. I don't have a chance of going back to the NHL. So I told my agent I would like to explore every option. If there's a Europe option, I would love to go over there and live in another country and experience another culture. Well, I have still, have a year or two, three left of playing. And this team kept calling. So, I mean, I signed a 2-year contract. So, I mean, having a chance to live in England for a couple of years.
Yeah, so the team is the Sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
Nottingham Panthers.
The Nottingham Panthers. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, having a chance, you know, and for my family, like Gabe got to spend his first year in San Diego, which is really neat. And then he's going to get to grow up in England for a little bit. I mean, so it's going to be pretty cool for family too. My wife's dad grew up in Liverpool. So she has a bunch of cousins and everything that are over there. Yeah. So her family's coming over. So it's going to be a good experience for everybody for sure. Yeah.
One of the most beloved Flames of this recent generation for sure. The salute to the crowd is, I mean, that's what, when you think of all the, you know,
yeah, take that out of the game too.
That's rude. Didn't you get a 10 for that?
I got a 10-minute misconduct for that. Stupid. That was the best 10-minute misconduct I got. Yeah. I wanted to do it again. Like, and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to need a 10. Like, I'll be like, oh, I've got like 5 shifts up to this point. And that's, I'm on a pretty good pace to get about 8 or 9 this game. But if I take a 10-minute misconduct, I might get like 6 shifts. That's why I never did it again.
So the movie is Ice Guardians. Now, putting you on the spot, when can we see it here? How's the?
It's Saturday night at the Cineplex in Eau Claire.
Okay,
is the release date here, and I think there might be one more. I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll find it.
But and then it's out on Super Channel on October 8th.
Perfect.
And then for one day, and then after that, it'll be the, you know, whatever releases they have, iTunes, Amazon, all that stuff. It'll be available. Yeah.
So when are you going over soon?
I'm leaving tomorrow. My visa came in yesterday, so it was about a 10-day process to get my visa, and it came in yesterday. So
they've started, haven't they? They got that they going.
Yeah, they're about 4 games in. So I'll fly in.
You're coming in hot.
I get to play it back to back this week, and I'm gonna be a little tired on some jet lag, but we'll get the moneymakers going for sure.
Take care of that boy. Yeah. Take care of that family. Take care of yourself. Calgary loves you, man.
Perfect. Well, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah.
There's Brian McGrattan here in studio.